It is Saturday, March 2nd, 2013. We're broadcasting live from Santa Cruz on the central coast of California. This is KOSP Public Radio, 88.9 and KOSP. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. In the air room with me is Mr. Al Luckow. He's a new media architect. Hi, Al.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
It's good to see you, sir. It's very nice to see you.
Yes.
Got to say. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So what are you up for? First story for you today, sir.
Well,
First off, we got to talk about what's going on in the air room, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's the first thing, simply because, you know, people might want to check this out. Now, what ends up happening when you're really into getting smartphones and stuff is that a new one comes out, and then you get the new one. And then you end up with all these, like, old smartphones sitting around. So the question is, what are you going to do with all these things? You know, you tend to give them to your kids or whatever.
Right.
But they're kind of cool. But I found an app that's specifically designed to give you something to do with your old smartphone.
And is that why there's a smartphone sitting over in the corner of the
room?
Yeah,
that's my old
iPhone 4.
Yep. And what it is, it's from a company called Kuzu.
So right now, if you want to follow along, if you're online, go ahead and go to geekspeak.org. Click on today's show, which is the 2nd of March. And you'll see a feed of the air room of
Is it at geekspeak.org or is it on the Facebook page?
Oh, I put it on geekspeak.org. I'll put it on Facebook too.
Well, whatever.
Good
idea. It's either go to one of those. Go to geekspeak.org. I don't want to confuse people. But, I put Kuzu on this phone. And what it does is you turn it on and it gives you a live video stream of whatever you're pointing it at. And the idea behind Kuzu is building a network of people that have just done this with all their old phones. And then you can, go to the kuzu.com, website, and you can browse. If you download the app, even if you're not going to use it for your own use, you can download the app and you can browse areas and see if anybody's got Kuzu phones going.
Cool.
Or Kuzu,
devices. Sure.
And then you can see, is it foggy down in... I mean, I live in Ben Lomond, and is it foggy down in Santa Cruz? Go to the beach. You get down there, it's all foggy.
So the only problem, of course, you've got to have this phone laying around someplace doing this. But.
Right. Well, it could be... They basically say it's a phone pointed out your window. And I've set up my old phone in here and just propped it up on one of our... it's this big, huge rack of CDs.
Yes, the air room is full of CDs.
It's like a wall.
So that
like
iPhone 4, throughout the episode of Geek Speak today, will be feeding us,
right,
sitting here chatting.
So if you absolutely have absolutely nothing to do, then you could go to this feed and see us saying this to you.
Now, of course, that thing's probably 20 seconds behind.
It's got a latency issue.
And I don't think it has any audio either, but that's fine.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
I mean, if you were going to,
maybe we'll move it around during the show.
Yeah,
we can
move it around. I don't know where to put it. Let's see.
Very
it looks
cool.
Like it's a little bit backlit.
Yeah, if you move it over there.
Yeah.
So we'll move it around. But in any case,
yeah,
if you go to geekspeak.org, assuming you're in front of a computer, mm-hmm, definitely a fun thing to do for today's show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and jump to one of your stories of the week. If you wouldn't mind, tell me a little bit about a snake problem.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. Guam. There's a lot of snakes in Guam. And they're not necessarily the snakes that were native to that area. They've been imported in. People have, they've snuck aboard cargo shipments and things like that. And so they end up with all these snakes. And the snakes have basically decimated the whole native population of birds.
Right.
I mean, I think there was like 12 different birds that were native to that place. And now snakes have decimated it. So there's only two native birds left. So they've been trying to get rid of these snakes somehow. So they've come up with a brilliant idea to drop poisoned rats.
Oh, because why wouldn't you?
Oh, what could go wrong?
What do you mean poisoned rats? Just like dead rats that are poisoned?
Yeah,
or?
They basically kill the rats and then they stuff them with, I guess it's acetaminophen, believe it or not, which is toxic to these snakes. So they drop the snakes on Guam, and then the idea is that the snakes will eat the rats and then die. But, you can't just drop them from a plane, so they have, like, little rat parachutes That's
No.
So they bake that. They get dead rats, and they put acetaminophen in them, and then they
as you do
hook them up to these like little rat parachute harnesses, and then they push them out the plane. And so, I don't know. It might be kind of weird if you lived in Guam and you look up and
it's one
of those days. What is that?
So how many dead rats do you have to send off to kill the population? I mean, there must be a lot of rats. But also, what about other creatures that might eat them?
That's the thing. I mean, it's like, how many are there going to be? And you know what's funny about Guam is that the snakes ate all the birds. So then the birds were not there to eat any of the spiders. And so they have this really big spider
nursery
problem.
Rhyme in here somewhere.
Yeah, it's like you know, I swallowed a fly, yeah, and I ate a cat to eat the dog.
Absolutely,
you know, but it's really weird because they've got all these spiders now, and like 40 times more spiders than other nearby Pacific islands.
Oh my gosh!
So I'm not a fan of. I mean, spiders are okay, but you know, really 40 times more.
And 40 times now, more of anything is not a good idea.
Dead rats coming down in parachutes.
Yeah. All right, not so good in Guam right now.
So,
of course, all the news stories we talk about we'll have up at the end of the show if you want to read more about the
If you're planning your vacation right now, I can tell you one place probably to go.
Unless, of course, you like extra spiders and lots of
dead snakes. It would be some good photo ops, maybe.
I love that they have to parachute them in.
Yeah. Well, they what happens is they fall and they get stuck in the tree. And then the snakes are in the trees. And so they're thinking that snakes will eat the...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they eat the parachute or not, maybe.
Right. Maybe that's where the poison is.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to have is you're going to have parachuting snakes. That's all there is to
Pretty
it.
Pretty soon, the snakes will adapt to learn how to use parachutes.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about water for just a moment. Sometimes, in, I don't know, very arid environments, it's very difficult to get the water that you might need.
Yeah.
So this is great kind of marketing campaign. Do tell about billboards, please.
Yeah, this is a billboard that is up in a desert area. And, a lot of these areas have humid air, but they have no rain.
Yeah.
Like this, the one place I'm talking about right now is in Peru. It's called Lima. It's a place called Lima.
So it's Lima, arid Peru. In the sense that it doesn't rain, but it is a humid environment.
It has
some air.
Humidity is like 98%.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
why doesn't it rain?
It's like I mean, when you walk outside, it's a desert, and humidity is 98%. You don't want to do anything. That kind of humidity just makes you just not.
Yeah.
Function.
Yeah.
So anyway, they have all this humidity, but they've got no water. So this company came up with this great idea. It was a collaboration, actually, between an advertising agency known as Mayo Draft FCB and Peru's University of Engineering and Technology. And what they did was they built this billboard that actually gathers the humidity and then condenses it down into water. And then it filters it down the pole. You know, it's one of those really tall billboards. It's real big, and it's on one big, giant
post.
Yeah. And then it comes all the way down, and it fills up to be potable.
A basin.
Potable water?
Potable.
Potable water. And then you can go and just, get water out of it. It's got a 20-liter tank, and they've already done, according to the university, the billboard produced 9,450 liters of drinking water in 3 months.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Which is enough to sustain hundreds of Peruvian families.
What's on the billboard?
On the billboard, it's, I have to get out my translation.
Go visit Guam.
Yeah. Look out for rats.
So this is in Peru, and basically this company, I'm assuming, is making money off the billboards to some degree because they're advertising, and then additionally it creates water.
It makes a lot of sense.
Something
about water, and then they have little droplets going all the way down to the bottom that signify there's water coming out the bottom, and then everything in it is in Spanish. But I have this thing that,
and of course this is in conglomeration with Peru's University of Engineering.
Here we go. So now this is weird. I mean, if you were looking at the video right now,
oh yes,
what I'm doing is. I pulled out I'm using my iPad.
You can go to geekspeak.org to look at a live video if you'd like.
I'm using my iPad to talk about this story, and you asked me what it said on the billboard, and I look at the billboard, and it's in Spanish.
Yes.
All right? So then I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know how to read that. And so what I did was I pulled out my iPhone, and I pointed it at my my iPad
to auto-translate.
I'm using this auto-translator called...
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, I know, this is crazy.
What is that?
It's called...
We covered this on GeekSpeak before, actually.
Yeah,
that app, when you first
it's heard. Called WordLens. That's what it is, WordLens. So now I'm using it, and I'm putting it at my thing, and it says, a panel that produces water drinkable of air.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That makes sense. Sure.
It's trying... I mean, it's Spanish, so that's... maybe it means... You know, it's probably similar to that. It says, panel that produces water drinkable of air. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty neat.
That's
anyway,
cool. That's cool.
A crazy
that's
use of
Peru.
Technology. Do not try this at home.
That's in Peru, and it's with a Mayo Draft FCB, which, of course, probably is the advertising company that puts up
yes.
billboards.
And Peru's, for Conan Belder, probably. That
right. And Peru's University of Engineering and Technology. Very
yes.
cool. Thank
mm-hmm.
you so much.
Yeah.
In just a second, you're going to tell us a bit about Samsung losing its bids to deal with the iPad and iPhones in general, and also potentially we'll talk a little bit about Pandora. But first, we've got to take a little bit of a station break, so that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
I'll move the phone, too.
The video phone, look at geekspeak.org. This is GeekSpeak. In the air with me is Al Luckow. I'm Lyle Troxell. Now, Al, every week we do Geek Bits, and these are things that you have to see to believe. One of them, of course, today is the entire hour.
Yeah.
We're streaming our feed up at geekspeak.org. You can learn about that and the app and all that if you go to geekspeak.org and take a look at today's show, which is the 2nd of March. Additionally, you actually have a great little video story. We'll get to those news stories I just talked about in a second. A great little video that you recommend people watching. If you recall, about skydiving?
Oh, yeah. this was from Geek News. And, you know, we're all pretty aware of what, you know, Mary Poppins flying with an umbrella.
Oh, yes. Kind of magically. Yes.
Well, somebody thought, well, you know, can you even, what happens if you...
if a British nanny can do it.
Yeah. I mean, would you be able to do this? And like I said, actually, I got this from... Bit by Bit Technology Bits. And they have a video of this guy, and he jumps out of a plane with an umbrella. And he's got a parachute on.
Now, this is a special umbrella, I'm assuming?
You know, looks like they reinforce the umbrella a little bit. But it doesn't look all that weird. I mean, it looks umbrella-like. I think if you saw somebody using this umbrella, you might think, that umbrella... looks somewhat large for
right. Takes this somewhat large umbrella,
yeah.
jumps out of a plane,
mm-hmm.
and actually effectively uses it to some degree.
Yeah, and it was he used you know one of those GoPro things that GoPros everybody's thinks they're a great thing. You know, you can plug them on stuff and everybody's skydiving on them. You know,
and, it's a durable recording camera that you mount to your body.
It'd be like if you taped your phone to your head,
right?
You know, so
jumped off a plane, right. jumped out of a plane with an umbrella.
So, and I guess another guy jumped out just next to him to film it.
Right.
And it turns out, you kind of soar in one of those umbrellas. Yeah. He actually got on it and flew and just soared around, you know, hanging on it, just like Mary Poppins.
That's awesome.
And
if you want to see that video, it'll be up just in a few minutes at geekspeak.org. I've got a video too, that I wanted to talk about. And actually this story has been inspired by you. Years and years ago, Al, you covered this story. Let's take ourselves back for just a moment.
I'm telling you, you got to watch this link about this one robot, okay? It's called Big Dog. It's by Boston Dynamics, okay? And this thing is 240 pounds, and it looks like a dog. Imagine a gigantic Rottweiler, a 240-pound Rottweiler with no head.
You remember that story? That's from an episode in July of 2009, July 11th. If you want to go see it, of course, all our episodes are at geekspeak.org.
That thing was scary.
That was scary. Now, we linked to that video about Big Dog running up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, scary thing. But most recently, Big Dog has been improved. You heard about this, Al?
I think I know what you're going to say.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And I say unfortunately because it's scary. Big Dog can now pick up cinder blocks and toss them. With a big claw.
Oh, that's useful.
So instead of having a head,
right,
the robotic dog that can run
so it can
just pick up a cinder block and toss it over its shoulder, like you would pick up a cup and toss it. It's really cool.
You could get injured.
I mean, they
just put things with it that are like dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty soon they're going to put something in there like a, you know, a kitchen chair where you stub your toe on it or some really dangerous thing, you know. I mean, this thing is, you know, it's so big and it makes a lot of noise. It's like, and it's huge and it's like a gigantic dog with no head. And now it can throw cinder blocks.
Oh, yeah. As Miles would say, everyone welcome our cinder block throwing giant robotic dogs.
Exactly.
Overlords.
Yeah.
Whoa. All right. All right, I forward promoted a bit of something that I thought you'd be.
Are you going to post a video of that?
Yeah, yeah, I'll be up at geekspeak.org. Okay. It's awesome. Thank you. All the stuff we talk about. And a lot of video. A lot of reasons to go to Geekspeak today. I hope the site stays up.
I'm going
to
go there.
Hey, what's going on with Samsung?
Samsung? Yeah, it's funny. You know, there's the whole thing about, you know, Samsung came out with a tablet and it somehow looked exactly like the iPad and came out after the iPad and... Somehow they said
that
it didn't have anything to do with the iPad, and that was all their idea. And so they sued and everything. And
it's been a lot of suits about this, yeah.
Yeah, and they lost. But they're so mad that they're suing again, and they sued again to try to block the sale of iPads in Korea, I believe. They're located in Korea, and they're trying to. I think it was just in Korea, maybe it might be Europe, because they say that Apple's infringing on a Samsung patent on wireless transmission technology. You know, they just can't really
accept.
Well, the thing about Samsung is it's one of those companies, like in the country they're in, they're just practically above the law. And they're, you know, that they are so big that they can kind of do anything they want. And now they tried to sue Apple again because of this. They found a patent that they say they're infringing upon.
Yeah.
And that just got thrown out of court now.
Okay.
So they were trying to block the sale of the iPhone in Japan. So apparently that got thrown out again. And I just wondering what they're going to come up with to say they brought up next.
Yeah. I mean, it's this whole infringement thing. And I was just reading a bit about, there's actually a great case right now. I mean, so patent infringement is a serious problem, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this whole industry about patent trolls. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend... if you want to learn a little bit more about patent trolls and what's going on with them and the current legislation in the bill right now, I'm sorry, in Congress, is about stopping patent trolls. Mm-hmm. And basically it's a new legislation that would basically say if you are suing someone because you say you have a patent and they have to defend themselves in court, if you lose that case, you have to pay their expenses as well. Mm-hmm. So it gets this point of it's fine to have a patent and to be able to enforce it and all that. But a lot of industry around this patent attacking, if you will, is really a company that just owns a patent. Mm-hmm. They have enough of a case to take someone to court. It would cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to go to court. So the company will settle out a suit. It's basically a shakedown process, right? So this bill, which is about stopping that, is called the Shield Act. And I highly recommend you take a look at it and actually be active in this because it is definitely
there's a lot
issue.
Of companies. What was that company that the guy that made that like $900 cookbook? It's actually his company. It's Intellectual Capital or something like that. And all they do is they go around, they just buy patents.
Yeah.
You know, there was a good podcast about that. And I don't know if it was WNYC Radio Lab or
they did. I think
This American
it was
Life.
This American
or,
Life.
Talks this
about,
American
yeah.
Life. There's one in there about patent trolls, which is amazing. It's just, you can't believe it. You know, another couple great podcasts that you should check out. If you like Geekspeak, you'll like both of those.
So I recommend going to EFF.org to learn more about this legislation about patent trolls, and the legislation is called Shield, and it would be something right now you'd want to support by contacting your congressperson. And of course, if you go to EFF, which is Electronic Freedom Foundation, Frontier Foundation, excuse me, they defend rights for the digital world, mm-hmm. and it's a nonprofit, and they have a whole story about how to deal with this new patent legislation.
Yeah.
All right, your next story, sir. Oh yeah, the one I mentioned before, which I thought would be really interesting to talk about, would be Pandora.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just give us a rundown. What is Pandora?
Pandora is a streaming radio service that is free if you let the commercials play. And if you pay, you can get free streaming music without commercials.
Right.
And what you do in order to listen to the music is you type in some sort of music that you like. You might type in, like, Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. Okay. So it's going to find music like that. Now, I think due to like ASCAP regulations and stuff, they aren't necessarily, just because you type that in doesn't mean they're going to play that song. If you can demand to hear something and then they can play it, then there's all these laws and bells and whistles go off. But they will play music like that, and sooner or later, the song that you actually put in there will play as well. But it's not going to be, you can't control the exact song that's playing, but you can control the type of song. And then what Pandora does is it builds this genome, that, which they call it, of music. And so it starts to understand what you like. And then you can say, well, I want another station. So you add a new station and you put some other kind of music. You know, you put the Chemical Brothers in. So it's a whole different kind of music. And so then that genre. And then you can add a couple other songs within that radio station to even make the have more depth, so you can add more variety to this to music. So it's a really great service. If you haven't tried out Pandora, I mean, it's everywhere now. So I don't think they're doing incredibly well in the sense of revenue, but I don't know if that means anything nowadays. anyway, they've come up with something. They're going to introduce a 40-hour monthly limit on free mobile listening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're restricting what was free. I guess the advertising is not doing enough for them financially.
Well, they say it's going to only affect less than 4% of its active users.
Oh, okay.
So it isn't something...
it's one of those things where all you can eat works for most people until people start eating too much.
Well,
and so they're restricting it to be kind of a reasonable 40 hours a week. That's pretty good.
They say the average is 20 hours of listening.
Is that free service with advertising?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
of course,
you know,
they probably want to boost up their paid service, right? They want to give more reason for the paid.
If you listen to it and you have it going in your computer and you just like leave, there's even a thing that I've noticed every now pops up. It says, are you still listening? Because they have to pay for every song.
Yeah.
So they're just basically trying to find a way to cut costs. And the royalty rates per track have jumped more than 25% over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, how are we going to pay for this? I mean, I feel like, you know, things like Pandora, we're really lucky to have this stuff right now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
This is a really great service. I've always been one that I've had to have my own music, and I've had iTunes running all day. I had to, you know, do this, and now I can get Pandora, and I can get variety.
Are you a paid customer to
yes.
Pandora? Okay.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is my wife just got this new car, and it connects to Pandora on her phone.
Okay.
And she is not a paid customer, but when her car connects to Pandora, it doesn't play commercials.
Why?
I don't know. But it's coming from her phone. It says, would you like to listen to Pandora? You know, it's got the touch screen. You tap it, say yes. Here's your stations. Tap one. And you tap it, and it plays. And I haven't heard any commercials.
Interesting. And she's not logged in through your account.
No, she isn't, actually.
I wonder why. I'm assuming that the Pandora company can, of course, decide to limit or
maybe
increase.
Maybe they have a deal with
probably
the car
just,
company.
They probably just want it might be a backslide from the car
company. It's much more pleasant without commercials. I mean, normally those kind of things,
commercial radio is horrible, I have to say. As someone that's been on nonprofit radio public radio for a long time, commercial radio, just nasty.
But it's cheap. I mean, even paying for Pandora, it's just amazingly cheap.
All right. And of course, the views expressed during GeekSpeak are not necessarily those of KOSP, a nonprofit organization, but of us, ourselves. And in the room with me is Al Lucca. I'm Lyle Troxell. We are taking calls today if you'd like to give us a question about the topics at hand we'll be talking about. If you want a little more information or you have an opinion about it, please give us a ring. The phone number is 800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-5877. We're going to keep on going with the news. And actually, I'm not even sure. Let's go into fashion. Let's go into geek fashion at this point. We talk a lot about different things on GeekSpeak. Normally, fashion is not a big part of it, of course, because we're geeks. And so we're kind of fashion inept, if you will. But this is something that, this story of yours, Al, is something that kind of harkens to having to buy this clothing just because it's so geeky and cool.
Yeah. This would be the awesome thermochromic jeans that change color with heat. Now, those of us who have been around in the 80s in high school, remember these shirts that you used to be able to get?
Oh my gosh, I barely
remember those things.
That.
They were like,
almost.
I forget what you call them, but they would change color with heat. And now there's a company, they call themselves the craziest jean company in the world. It's called Naked and Famous Denim. And they've come out with these jeans that change, that when heat gets to them, they kind of turn white. And they have pictures of them, you know, like if you were sitting down, you pressed your hand into your thigh, you lift your hand up, you have this white hand there. you know, it's really weird.
Cool. It's like the mood rings too.
Yeah, it's like the mood ring.
Kind of, and it's just all the pants.
They're kind of.
I gotta say something. There are parts of my body that might get warm at different times,
yes.
And I don't really want clothes advertising that.
That is the weird thing about these, because sometimes you want to keep those warm parts
private.
Being,
I'm thinking the back of the knees is what I'm thinking about.
Yes, of course, yeah, back of the knees heat up
as you sit down,
squatting up. A lot.
Right, right.
You want to keep that private.
You know, what'd be interesting is if taking the same material and putting them on like public transportation seats and such. So when you come into the bus, you know which ones are warm versus cold.
Now that's an idea.
Because you know, if you're in public transportation and you sit down in something that's been warm, you start wondering who was here before me,
right?
You know,
it's like a little fingerprint kind of. Yeah,
we've got a call, so let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Tony from Santa Cruz, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hi guys, I was really interested in that that atmospheric condenser project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in World War II, we couldn't crack the Japanese military code. And they were doing incredible things to try to figure out what things were. They knew a particular attack was coming, but they didn't know where. And one of the things they did was that they sent a message out in the clear that Midway was having trouble with its freshwater condenser. And they were able to then determine, based on Japanese traffic, that their code AF referred to Midway. And so the U.S. knew that Midway was about to be attacked, rather than the Aleutians or the Philippines or something.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, the thing is that freshwater condensing out of the atmosphere is very old technology.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you've ever had like known anybody who's had a little air conditioner in their windows that always drip,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's exactly the same principle. You take the air, reduce it to the dew point, and give it a way to collect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of personal project, you know, items like this, and they aren't funky. And there's one the about 4 years ago I got interested in this because a Canadian company produced one that would produce about 4 or 5 gallons a day.
Yeah,
that isn't very much, but it was also an extremely small unit, about the size of a bread box.
The other thing is that some of these, of course, like the air conditioner, actually uses a lot of power to produce that water collection.
That
right?
isn't necessarily the case anymore.
Right, but some of them can be very efficient. That's totally true.
Well, we're getting there, but you know, the thing is, our community here is contemplating indebting the community to the tune of millions.
We've covered this topic on Geek Speak. That's right, desalination. And we actually covered that topic.
The thing is that we would be able to stave that off and kick that can down the road, you know, for better technology, simply if people had freshwater condensers. If the lines to their kitchen and bathroom sinks was keyed to something on the roof with a gravity field.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is definitely potential to
collect water. But I wanted to ask you a question, because I haven't really been able to find much on it.
Please do ask me a question.
LEDs. Does anybody manufacture ultraviolet LEDs?
Yes.
Not just pretty black light purple, but ultraviolet LEDs?
I would assume yes. Definitely infrared. I don't know about ultraviolet. I haven't actually purchased any, but definitely in the high end of the spectrum that can cause other things.
Keeping the water bacteria free.
Yeah, the other way to do it is to use ozone. Well, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks a lot.
All right, before we take the next call, let's go ahead and move on with a bit more about,
I actually have, you know, he mentioned the colored LEDs.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a neat product. I was going to mention this.
Okay.
It's called the Philips Hue. And what Philips has done is they've created these light bulbs that you replace, you know, it's a regular light bulb fixture. And each one is Wi-Fi enabled. And what happens is you can control your lights from your smartphone with these lights.
Yeah.
Not only off and on and dimming, but also color.
Very cool, yeah.
So you're able to go say, okay, I would like this room to be kind of blue,
you
know, and you just sort of, and you can actually open up a photo that you've taken and tap on that
blue.
Pick
the color you want.
And the LEDs in the whole room will change.
Are these all Wi-Fi?
These are all Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so we covered
LEDs.
This story a couple years ago when they were just talking about
right.
it. But now it's a product.
You can buy them.
It's cool.
And you know, this product is reasonably priced.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's...
I know what LEDs cost. I mean, they're... Yeah, it probably costs a few $100s to do your room,
yes.
right? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, attainable.
And the power use is low, though you are dealing with having to set up with the Wi-Fi and stuff. I got to say, I might want to get those because it's friggin' awesome.
There's a video online
we'll add it to geekspeak.org,
you
definitely.
You can see them in action. And
you know, a few minutes ago, we were talking about water being collected in Peru, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a little bit of a correction, thank goodness, from a listener. And if you'd like to call in with corrections or more content, please do so. The phone number is 800-655-5877. John, what did we do? John, what did we do wrong?
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi. Actually, real short and simple. I still love you guys more than Science News. I've called and said that before. And also, the pronunciation is potable.
Potable.
Okay. You know what? It's always bugged me, and it's potable now, and I know it.
But you'll forget.
It's a word.
It's portable, potable, potable, right? So you're saying potable.
It's from poter, Latin, poter,
he
yeah.
Says it's potable.
And,
yeah.
I remember by potato.
Okay. I will remember that now. Potatoes.
Potatable.
Potable water. Look at that.
Potatable water.
Potable water over there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's my Chicago.
All right.
Potable water over
Thanks
there.
Thanks for the correction, John. I appreciate it.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Well, that's something clear to... I mean, that's been a lifelong question for me.
Absolutely.
I've never bothered to look up.
So he suggests that he likes our show better than others. I got to say, there's a show that I like better than GeekSpeak, and that's the Seventh Avenue Project. And the Seventh Avenue Project is Sunday at noon on KOSP. And tomorrow's show, After Disaster. As we approach the second anniversary of the 2010 Japanese tsunami, the acclaimed environmental writer Gretel Ehrlich reflects on what nature wrought and how humans are coping. Her new book, Facing the Wave, describes her travels to Japan's devastated northeast coast in the months following the calamity. She talks to host Robert Pauly about what she saw and her thoughts on life, death, and impermanence in light of her Buddhist faith. That's 7th Avenue Project tomorrow at noon right here on KOSP. It is GeekSpeak on KOSP. You're listening to right now, 88.9 or at kosp.org. You are listening to GeekSpeak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me is Al Luckow. We are streaming live today. Just go to geekspeak.org and click on the live feed from Kazoo, which is a company that's made a free iPhone product that you could use for your old phones to turn them into webcams. In any case, we're running that today. And also at geekspeak.org is everything we were talking about. And we are taking calls with questions and comments about technology. The phone number is 800-655-5877. Now, Al, a moment ago, we were talking about the top of the show, we were talking about dropping rats, poisoned dead rats off of parachutes mm-hmm. to get rid of snakes, of
right.
course.
Right.
And there's more news stories about rats this week,
yeah,
I believe.
You know, I just don't think we've said enough about rats today.
No, we haven't.
And this one's pretty weird. They've actually been able to wire two rats' brains together. So that it's not like the Vulcan mind meld, but it's kind of science fiction-y, but they've actually done it. And what they did was they created an experiment where a rat was in a box and it had to choose between two parts of a shape mm-hmm. in order to get a reward. And it learned what part of the shape was where they got the award.
Right.
And then... to get the reward, they'd have to either go right or left. Just to say it's an experiment they figured out.
Right, so they've trained a rat to be right. able to do that and go left
and
or right.
They
so
were,
they know that yes. information is in the brain of the rat.
And they were able to wire that information. At first, they were just recording the information from the rat's brain, and then they'd play it back into the brain of another rat, you know, hardwired in. And the other rat knew where to go.
No.
Yeah, it would know immediately where to go because of the information. So the information was transferred to this other rat, and it was like, oh, I know where it is. You just told me with this, you know, electric thing. So they're able to transfer information.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and the idea is what they're trying to do is figure out a way to help, you know, create some sort of exoskeleton or something to help a paralyzed person walk. I mean, this is what the inspiration of this project is. It's being done at Duke University. The neuroscientist Miguel Nicolese of Duke is the guy who led mm-hmm. this whole study. It's pretty interesting. We'll have a link to this But it is basically two, you know, the old science fiction where they put the cup on each person's head and, you know, and then you like are the other person.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Brain transfer, but knowledge transfer.
Yeah.
I love his quote. It clearly states that the headline is just the scratching of the surface of what's actually going on. Because his quote is, we basically created a computational unit out of two brains.
Right.
That sounds wrong.
I know. It's weird. I mean, you know, wow. You know, that, you know, I didn't think that was even, you know, apparently, though, the technology for this kind of thing is not brand new.
No. We you know, over the years on GeekSpeak, we talk a little stories about this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm always kind of amazed when the next step is taken. But, we'll keep going. Yeah, fantastic. You know, Al, you've been the robot expert in the sense that you keep on bringing robot stories to GeekSpeak. Yeah. Whenever you're here, you've got interesting robot stories.
Mm-hmm.
And there's robots, and then there's augmented human mobility and such, right? Mm-hmm. Which you could kind of think of robotics, right? But mm-hmm. it doesn't have its own intention. And this story is in that secondary space. It's kind of like robotics. It's using the technology of robotics, but it's really about empowering human beings.
My story?
Yeah, about exoskeletons.
Oh, the exoskeleton one. Oh, the exoskeleton one is basically they've approved a robot suit that can help the elderly and disabled get around now. And so, of course, in Japan.
Right, of course.
You're not going to get any cool robot stuff in the U.S., let me tell you. It's you know, Japan does it, and then, you know, it just seems like they really like robots. And they've approved this thing. It's called the Hybrid Assistive Limb, or HAL.
Right.
I don't know if they realize the...
I'm sure they do.
Anyway, you put that thing on and you're able to walk around, and they've approved it. And so people who are disabled can wear this exoskeleton now and walk around. And it's coming. You know, I mean, these things are coming. They're exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and this is from Discovery. I found this on Discovery. So it's, I think it's actually happening. You know,
awesome. We are taking calls with questions and comments about technology. The phone number to give us a ring and ask us questions or talk about the stories we've covered today is 800-655-5877. Now, we've talked about fashion today with mm-hmm. the pants that transfer heat.
Right.
The other thing we don't regularly talk about on GeekSpeak, fashion being one of them, another thing would be sports. We rarely talk about sports.
I don't think I can recall ever talking about sports.
Yeah.
Should
we?
GeekSpeak.
Should we cover something that's kind of sport-related?
No.
Moving on.
Well, we can cover a gadget in sports.
Yeah, good. Gadgets are good.
Okay. This is something that's kind of cool. I ran across this. It's a football, and it's called a football cam, and it's I don't know if it's a GoPro camera. It's some kind of camera that they've embedded inside of the football, and then you just, you know, you throw the football, and it records it. Now, what's the problem with that?
Nothing. It's awesome.
Yeah. There is a problem.
Yes. It's spinning?
It's spinning.
If you throw it right.
Yeah, but these guys, it's at Carnegie Mellon, they did this. And I guess they collaborated with the University of Electrocommunications in Tokyo.
Okay.
And so they took this camera, and they were able to, they use a wide-angle view.
Uh-huh.
And it's rotating approximately 600 revolutions per minute when it's thrown by the quarterback.
Yeah, a good spiral throw.
Yeah, and it would just normally just be a big blur. But they've come up with an algorithm that teases out the picture and makes the raw video into a stable.
Awesome.
Into a stable view. And they do that by...
So they don't... I'm assuming they don't take the camera and just make sure it doesn't rotate like a physical thing.
Yeah, like a little gyroscope.
Yeah.
That what they're doing is they're picking out the difference between the sky and the ground.
Yeah.
And because they're really different, and then they use that as sort of a baseline, and then the algorithm exploits that difference.
Yeah,
and that's how they're able to.
It's fascinating. You know, a while ago we talked about a Photoshop type filter that would de-blur an image,
mm-hmm.
and as we realized as we went along, it really was only motion blur. So if a car is zooming past you, and you tell this filter, "Hey, that object moved from this direction to this direction," it can reinterpret and clear it up
mm-hmm.
because the data is there; it's just stretched.
Yeah,
right. And it'd be similar to this. You know, mm-hmm. you know, there's a rotational situation. As soon as you figure out what that rotational situation duration is, you can get the data back out of it. It's very cool. The other thing you could do is just make sure that every shot you take isn't moving. Oh, but of course, the LCD that picks a little display that actually picks it up has to scan. So when the image moves, mm-hmm. it's going to be shifted on the scan. So
yeah, I mean, there's what you could do with this. I mean, at some point, maybe you'll have this kind of technology in your smartphone, and you can just like sort of move it really fast and make sure
scan a room kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, because as far as this football goes, I don't know about you, but when I throw football, I don't know that the spiral is exactly
perfect.
Pretty close to perfect,
well,
let me tell you.
Yeah,
but
no, I've seen you throw football.
Yeah,
you're pretty good at throwing football.
Yeah,
you know, I joke a lot about us being geeks, and therefore mm-hmm. we don't have these other skills. But that's ridiculous.
Yes,
we both have sons. We play football,
right?
Of course,
we're familiar with the game.
I know what the football.
I've gotten
thing
lots
is,
of baskets
right?
in football.
That's
many,
kind of
many
my
baskets.
Too.
Many.
I do not
goal
watch
lines.
Sports.
I've hit a lot of goals.
Okay, so if you thank you, Al, for that story about embedding cameras in footballs. Mm. I think that would just be, I love that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And they have it in the video, you know, we'll have this link online.
Yeah.
And the video is what they use a Nerf football. And
yeah.
it's just like sort of cut in there, which
yeah,
is
cool.
It's pretty cool. And
like
Nerf footballs are pretty fun to throw.
I got a few links to add to Geekspeak. I added some during the show, but it always distracts me. So they'll be up after the show. I want to just, Al, I'll let you can pick your next news story in just a minute.
Okay.
So I just want to reiterate the thing about the patent legislation that's going on right now, and you can learn more. I'm going to give the URL in a second. I'll tell you why it's important. The patent trolling situation that goes around, basically there's patents, broad patents for everything. And in fact, there's one patent group right now that has a patent for basically that covers podcasting. Anybody covering podcasting, if they're not licensing this patent from them, theoretically that you're taking advantage of their patent and they can get money from you. So relatively successful podcasts that actually pull in money, we're not one of those. Geekspeak barely gets any money for the station. It's much more just a service that we'd like to provide.
You could change that.
That's true. You could donate right now at kosp.org, and we will tell you more about that in the weeks to come. But in any case, Geekspeak is not going to be threatened by this patent troll. But other podcasts are being threatened to the point that they're being taken offline mm-hmm. because the issue is that if you own a patent that even looks pretty good, you can go to court and the court fees will be millions of dollars. So,
right.
you know, let's say the podcast is pulling in, I don't know, $6,000 a year or something like that, right? So the company comes along and says, you know what, you can lease this patent from us for $1,000 a year, right? They just kind of mm-hmm. base it off an income and it just mm-hmm. becomes a podcast rate. Unfortunately, podcasters are in a situation where you don't normally get a lot of money from them. The downloads are all linked in kind of about how much advertising is done. Mm-hmm. We, of course, don't advertise on Geekspeak, so that's one of the reasons we don't make money. But in any case, this legislation could kill a lot of creativity, a lot of wonderful podcasts out there. I mean, this legislation could help them not get attacked by this patent troll. So I urge you to go to EFF.org/shield. That's uppercase shield. If you do one thing about going to websites after Geekspeak, you don't have to go take a look at all the fun links we have or the news stories and learn more about potable water off of billboards or information about rats being skydived. But if you do one thing, definitely go to EFF.org/shield, all uppercase shield, to learn more about how you can support this bill that will stop patent trolling. I'd welcome you to do so. In the air with me is Al Lucca. I'm Lyle Troxell. Answering phones today is Rick Filman. Al, what you got for the next news story?
Well, I thought I'd talk about another app. Actually, a couple apps, different kinds of apps. One of them is called Dragonbox. This is an app for your phone, and I believe it's also available on Android and iPhone. I have to check on that. I'm pretty sure I saw the Android button there. Dragonbox is a game for kids. You'll look at it and, oh, it's a kid's game. You know, this is weird. You know, and you can match these little things. But what it does in a sneaky way is it teaches your kid algebra.
Ooh, what?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah,
how?
Brian turned me on to this.
Okay.
It basically shows you two sides of a game board, and you have to try to keep both sides equal. And then you've got on one of them, you know, they basically show you shapes that you can remove these shapes if you can, you know, put this shape on top of another, it'll disappear. And then you want to try to, you're basically isolating one, basically the variable, the X here, but it doesn't look like an X. It's a box. It's a magic box, and it's got sparkles on it and everything. And then over time, they start replacing the little pictures with, like, symbols
or
they get to numbers, but they start doing symbols like with a minus in front of it, and you're still playing the game, you know, and you're still going on.
This is awesome.
You're going on and on. My son, he's 7, he played that thing, you know, and I
What's
had to
it
take
called?
It. It's called Dragon Box.
All right, we'll get that up on Geekspeak.
And it's at dragonboxapp.com. And I think it's worth, it says fun learning algebra from age 8 and up, but my son's 7, he had a ball with it, so.
You know, I take it away. Oh, you're done with this. You can't play this. Ah, Dad. You can learn more about this up at geekspeak.org. I'm putting the link up right now so that we.
And there's another app, too, I was going to bring
up. Oh, yeah, well, go ahead. Well, first off, let me just say that I've been doing a lot more JavaScript. My new job is doing a lot more. I'm leaving university. I'm starting to work at a new company, and you can learn more about that if you look at my feed on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. I'm Lyle on those places. In any case, the job I'm doing is doing a lot more JavaScript. And one of the things I'm doing is kind of engaging with the idea of teaching, but also just showing off. And what you get when you're trying to describe to people that aren't programmers what programming is, you really quickly realize that it's very much like teaching math in a lot of ways, right? There's this whole logic aspect. Mm-hmm. But it's also, when you get comfortable with a programming language, the idea of algebra becomes kind of inherently simple, because the programming language actually it's a language that you use, algebra concepts are used all the time. So it's one of those things where if you want to learn algebra, learning to program kind of gives you that as a bonus, right? Oh. You kind of learn algebra on the side. And I think learning programming can be a lot more fun to some case than learning straight math, because you're applying the mathematics all the time. You know, if you want a guy to run across the screen in a game, you have to have a variable, you have to assign value, you have to do different things that are algebra-like. So it becomes pretty clear to me and to other people that do programming, well, if you want to teach algebra, you could do it this way.
Yeah.
A game, even better, I got to say, because then you're not convincing anybody of anything. You're just saying, here, play a game.
It's well done, too, because it comes across as very simple. I mean, you look at it and you're like, oh, this is a simple game, you know. And even when I was playing it with my son, it's a single-person game, but I was kind of, trying to play it, too. And he was getting things before I was getting them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically teaching the concepts of algebra without bothering about the numbers yet, whole idea. So it's a pretty well done game, Dragon Box.
You can learn more about that at geekspeak.org. It is up on today's show, which is March 2nd, 2013. Okay, another app, Al?
The other app was one that's coming up out on Facebook. OpenTable, you ever use OpenTable?
Yeah. Basically, it's kind of go ahead, describe.
OpenTable's, probably the largest restaurant reservation application out there. I think they have like 27,000 restaurants using them. Swaf right here in Santa Cruz does.
So with OpenTable, you could basically say, I want a restaurant. I want to go to a restaurant in this area. It'll give you a list of restaurants. You can then say, yeah, book me a table for 4 people at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And then it handles it from there.
It'll show
normally
you
calls or emails or something, but the restaurant can actually register with it.
It'll show you what's available. Say, I want 6 o'clock. Say I was going to go to Swaf. I've done this all the time there, and just say, there's a table for 2 available. Press a button and it just does it, confirms it, sends emails, your friend, whoever, if you wanted to do that. Anyway, they've come out with a new thing for Facebook that is basically, it's called Places I've Eaten.
It's called We Destroy OpenTable's Business Model.
Well, no,
Facebook.
It is OpenTable.
Oh, good.
But oddly enough, you're kind of right in saying that, because there's Facebook Graph. Have you heard of Facebook Graph? Facebook Graph is a new direction that Facebook's going in. I've signed up for the beta thing, but I haven't heard anything. But basically, Facebook Graph allows you to search, and it will do things like show me all the friends I have that are skateboarding or whatever.
Right.
And so it basically does all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This is OpenTable's thing is for just food and restaurants. I imagine Graph
will integrate with that.
It's probably going to
show me the restaurants my friends have eaten at in the last month.
Right.
Right. So it's Facebook Graphs, they're talking about it as being, supporting privacy to some degree and not sharing too much information. But there's real privacy concerns, because once you get this level of data, you can start asking things like, who are my who are people that my friends know who are single and alone right now?
Right.
Right? Like that kind of creepy
questions. It's weird, yeah.
Right.
But, this looks to be kind of interesting, because it's going to be, by OpenTable, using their data, and you're going to say, which one of my friends likes eating at this place,
right?
And you're gonna get recommendations.
Right.
So I guess,
and this is called
it's
what?
Called Places I've Eaten
in Facebook. And is it launched live?
It's an
yet?
App.
It's an app.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it's available, and it's an app, so you're kind of using it, and people can go in there. And
I don't have that link, so I'll have to get that from you.
Oh,
definitely.
I didn't put that in there.
No, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Well, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
All the stuff we talk about is up at geekspeak.org at the end of the show. This has been Geekspeak for March 2nd, 2013. In the Arum with me was Al Luckow, and Al Luckow is a new media architect and joins us sometimes to talk about the awesome stuff, including robots and sometimes crazy USBs of the week. Al, thanks for being here today.
Sure.
We also, thanks to Rick Philman, who managed the phones for us, and thank you for listening to GeekSpeak. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of by David Lawrence and is used with permission. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz. We're streaming and podcasting at kusp.org. Everything we talked about today is up at geekspeak.org. For KUSP and for GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxell. See you next week.